It's another week and another year. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's 2018. So I expected at this point we would have flying cars. Al Gore expected the whole world to be flooded because of climate change and global warming. And what we have today actually is not, you know, they have maybe have some flying cars that they're working on. We do have cars that they're working on that can drive themselves. The whole globe is still here. It's really, really cold here in Knoxville. So that is your 2018 so far. We've just been a couple days in, and that's where we're at here in Knoxville. It's one of those days where people will walk up to you and say, "Is it cold enough for you?" And then you'll look at them in a weird way and say, "Yeah, I don't know how to answer that." And it's a weird question, so I would encourage you not to ask that question. Just because it's strange. So welcome to the new year, 2018. We could not be more excited to start our 21st year of operation at Hope Resource Center. And we're able to do that. Why? Because of your support. And we're certainly thankful for that. We just, I got the mail today and looked through, and I'm not prepared to give a total yet. But what I do know is we reached our goal for year-end giving, which means we've raised over $175,000 for year-end giving at Hope Resource Center. And again, that happens because of people like you that mailed in checks, people like you that went to our website at investinghope.com and clicked the donate button. Some people texted in their gifts. But either way, we had a lot of people stand with us and partner with us throughout the year and then come in there in the month of December in 2017 and really finish out the year strong, and we could not thank you enough for that. So a lot of great things going on at Hope Resource Center. Here today, what I want to do is walk through some numbers so we can see what, okay, we've raised this much money. What is actually being done at Hope Resource Center? So I want to go through some numbers with you on ultrasounds and pregnancy tests. And then what I want to do is look at what's going on around the country and what are we seeing. Some trends that we're seeing around the country in terms of life being celebrated and abortion clinics actually closing. And we have a number of states in the union that only have one abortion clinic left in their state. And we have one state in particular that we'll talk about here in a second. And it's our bordering state in Kentucky that is about to see their last abortion clinic close. And they will be the first state in the union to have no abortion clinics within their borders. And we salute them and applaud them for that. And we'll talk about that here in a second. So what we'll also look at is I'll go through the calendar for the month of January and February and where I'll be speaking at churches during that time. And so if you're interested, maybe you go to one of those churches, you can mark that on your calendar. Or if you want to come out and hear what I have to say and as we talk about hope and the gospel, you can do that as well. And so the month of January and February, I'll be pretty much at a different church every single Sunday and one Saturday as well. And so that's going to be a great time. This month, my baby will enter the world, which we're excited about. My wife is very excited about finally delivering and having this baby. And it'll be our fourth, and it'll be a little girl. And we are just really, really pumped to meet her. And that will be really any time now. The due date is the 21st. Induction's been scheduled. But my wife is hoping to go into labor at some point because she is just about wore out. And I can imagine. Obviously, I'm a dude and have no way of really imagining that. But I take her word for it. So we're excited about welcoming in our fourth child, another little girl to the Wood family. This is going to be a lot of fun. Also, in the next couple of weeks, I'll be traveling with a number of our staff to Washington, D.C. to join hundreds of thousands of people for the March for Life in Washington, and that's going to be a great time. I'll be speaking at a pre-rally event for about 1,500 to 2,000 young people. It'll be college age and high school students, and I'll be talking to them about the theme of Love Saves Lives and how pregnancy centers, how we see that on a day-to-day basis in our work at pregnancy centers. So right now, let's go through some numbers of what we saw in 2017 at Hope Resource Center. So we saw a total of 632 positive pregnancy tests, 202 negative pregnancy tests, total pregnancy tests 834, a total number of ultrasounds 481. So 481 ultrasounds were given in 2017. Through our numbers, what we know is close to 90% of those will choose life within, you know, after seeing an ultrasound, and so we're certainly excited about that. So that's what that's the work that's being done because of your gifts. We're able to provide those pregnancy tests. We're able to provide ultrasounds and numbers that I'm not going to get into is STD testing and treatment, parenting classes. We're able to provide almost 50 baby showers every single year because of the donations that you make to Hope Resource Center, not just your financial donations, but also your item donations. So we have, again, we have a number of baby showers every single year. And for each person, each patient, we need a car seat, pack and play, diaper bag, clothes, diaper, stroller, a bathtub. All of those things are provided to our patients at no cost. And we're able to do that, again, not just because you donate financially, but also because a number of you will donate diapers and wipes and the actual items that we need. Churches will partner with us in donating those items. We had churches right around Christmas that, similar to the angel tree idea, they do a hope tree. And what that looks like is instead of when you go up to the tree, you can pick, okay, they need a pack and play. I'm going to get a pack and play for someone at Hope Resource Center. They need diapers. I'm going to provide diapers. And what we saw there at the end of the year is we saw a number of churches bring loads of gifts to us. And so I took a trailer full. I have a 14-foot trailer, and I filled it and took it to storage as we prepare for baby showers that are coming up. And it was full of car seats and diapers and wipes and pack and plays and strollers. And then we made another pickup today, and we'll make more pickups tomorrow that I'll be sharing on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those places. But we'll be talking about the work that's being done and the partnerships that we have in this city as we continue to serve and love the patients that we have and again, we couldn't do any of that without you. So every single ultrasound that is provided is able to be done at no cost because you stand with us. So think about that. We have a patient that comes in and she's nervous and she's scared and she's facing an unplanned pregnancy and she doesn't know what she's going to do and she doesn't know, you know, if her man's going to stick by her side. She doesn't know if her family's going to be supportive. She doesn't know if her friends are going to be supportive. She doesn't know if she can afford a pregnancy test, if she can afford an ultrasound. She doesn't know if she can afford a car seat, a pack and play, wipes and diapers and a diaper bag and a stroller and all these things that if you're a parent, you understand that parents need and the struggles that come with that. And we're able to look at that patient and say, don't worry about any of that. Because your pregnancy test is going to be free. Your ultrasound is going to be free. And if you're a first-time mom and you want to go through our parenting class, we'll provide the parenting class and a mentor for you at no cost. And if you make it through all of that, we'll provide you with a baby shower so you don't have to worry about a car seat. You don't have to worry about a pack and play, diapers for the first few months. We're able to provide those for the patient because you stand with us. Now think about the decision process for that patient now changes, right? So now she's saying, well, I didn't have a money for the car seat, but you're telling me that you will provide me a car seat. I didn't have money for an ultrasound, but now you're telling me you will provide that. Now, I didn't have money for a pack and play, but you're going to provide that. That's why this model works, is because all the obstacles and the struggles that these patients are facing, and they feel like the world is crashing in on them, they need someone to step in there and say, it's going to be okay. It may not be easy. It may require some work, but it's going to be okay. And there are people here at Hope Resource Center, and there are people in this city that love you and that are going to be here for you. That's why we provide the mentoring. That's why we provide the parenting classes, because we know it's not just about getting stuff. That's nice. And it certainly helps. But it's also the relationships and the conversations. Our Sanctity of Life video that I'm going to be releasing tomorrow talks about Brianna, who we talked about before, and the impact that it had on her life when our nurse looked at her and said, congratulations. The impact that her mentor had on her life and the parenting classes had on her life. And now she's a nurse and she's volunteering at a pregnancy center herself. And our Sanctity of Life video covers that in a brief summary. So the impact is great as we tell our patients that they can have their baby and their dreams. It doesn't have to be one or the other. But I'll admit, if our model was one of making profit, and that patient came in and said, I'm scared and I'm nervous and I don't know what I'm going to do, and we looked at him and said, well, we wish we could help, but you know, that ultrasound's going to cost you. That pregnancy test's going to cost you. Yeah, good luck on finding a car seat. But please, please, you know, come back to us. Please keep your baby. Well, that changes things, right? That's why our model is one of love and service. That's why we fundraise. You know, I think at times people are like, well, all nonprofits do, all they do is ask for money. Or you go to a church and you're like, oh, they're passing the plate again. But the reality is, even at a local church and at Hope Resource Center, that the model of tithing or in a nonprofit setting like Hope of fundraising, that is not our goal. That is not our mission. But it is a vehicle to allow us to do our mission. And so I never want to be the center that all we do is ask for money. But certainly to do what we do, we're going to have to partner with people in this city and around the country. And what we saw this year is we saw checks from Michigan and from Arkansas and from all over the country of people saying, we want to partner with you in this work. And in partnering with us in this work, we're able to look a patient in the eye and say, don't worry about the cost. We're going to take care of that. And we're able to look at them and say, a local church here in town has agreed and has partnered with us to provide you with a baby shower. Think of the impact that has. Then they go back to their family and they say, well, I know we had these concerns and these worries, but I found Hope Resource Center and they're going to do all of this at no cost. And they're going to walk with me through this process. Did you know there were babies just a few weeks ago celebrating their first Christmas with their mom? Because their mom came to Hope Resource Center. And because we were able to serve their mom with your gifts. Think about that. That's the impact that you're having. So when I read off these numbers of the amount of ultrasounds and the amount of pregnancy tests, these aren't just numbers. These are lives being impacted. These are lives being saved. This is hope being restored in a very literal sense to so many of our patients that it felt like everything has gone wrong for them. And then they find their way to Hope Resource Center and they're told that they have value. They're told that they matter and that they can do this. We've done this for 20 years and we're starting our 21st year, and it could not happen without people like you standing with us. And we are grateful for that and for your partnership. When we come back, what we're going to talk about is some work that's being done around the country, and in particular in the state of Kentucky, for the pro-life movement and seeing abortion clinics close. We'll talk about that in a sec. Raise me up to where you are. Raise me up. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, all always thankful for Chuck Hooten and Shoreline Worship. That's a lot of the music that you're hearing throughout the show is from Chuck and his team over at Shoreline, and certainly thankful for his friendship and his leadership in worship, not just here in Knoxville, but around around the country. He does a lot of great work, and music is amazing. And so it's funny, my daughter and my son both are huge fans. It's weird saying they're fans of Chuck because he's a friend of mine, but they are huge fans. And we went to the Christmas Eve service and went up to Chuck afterwards, and my daughter wanted me to let him know that she is also a musician and a songwriter, and my daughter is 4 and cannot read, but yet she still calls herself a songwriter, and she wanted Chuck to know that. And so that's a, you know, it's interesting with kids how my daughter, we got her a toy guitar for Christmas, and I said, do you want to take lessons? And she said, again, she's 4, I don't need lessons. I already know how to play. And so she doesn't know how to play, but it's going to save me a lot of money with her believing and thinking that she does. And so certainly thankful for her, and hard to believe that I'm going to have another little girl running around the house very soon. So that'll make 3 little girls at the house and 1 boy, and so should be fun. So right now what I want to do is talk about the work that's being done around the country in terms of the pro-life movement. And in terms of abortion clinics. And so there's an article today at the Daily Wire, which is a great site if you're into dailywire.com. And it's talking about the pro-life win that's on the horizon, and maybe the first state to be abortion clinic free. And it's perfect timing because next week I'll be having a guest on the show. His name's Dan, and he's what they've coined as the adoption czar in the state of Kentucky. And so he was in the administration at Southern Seminary in Louisville, and when Governor Bevin became governor of the state of Kentucky, he tasked Dan with kind of restructuring the children's services across the state of Kentucky, and also restructuring foster care, and really ultimately with the goal of getting every single kid that's in foster care in a home. Especially the ones that are waiting for that forever home. So not all foster children are waiting for a forever home. They're just in foster care for a brief time before they go back to their guardian, to their parents, their grandparents, something like that. But there are some kids that are in foster care that are waiting to be adopted. So they're waiting for that forever home. And so what Dan and his team are doing is getting to a place where we see the orphans taken care of. And I love the model that they're doing in Kentucky. And again, we're going to talk with Dan about that next week, so stay tuned for that. Should be a good conversation. He'll be on with us for the whole hour as we talk through adoption, foster care, and the work that's being done in Kentucky. But in conjunction with that, the governor of Kentucky's really made a push for the pro-life movement and to get abortion clinics out of the state, not just because he doesn't like abortion clinics, but it's getting them out and really holding them accountable for not meeting the criteria and the law. And so listen to this article again that's at the Daily Wire. It says, thanks to the tireless efforts from brave pro-life advocates, voters, and politicians, there are a total of 7 states that have only 1 abortion clinic left. And the 7 states are Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Missouri, West Virginia, and Kentucky. In Kentucky, the pro-life movement and mothers and their babies are on the cusp of another major victory, ridding the state entirely of abortion clinics. In a matter of weeks, the last abortion clinic in the state, which is called EMW's Women's Clinic in Louisville, could be forced to pack up their stuff and close their doors thanks to Governor Matt Bevin. According to Bevin, EMW, which was caught performing abortions without a license in 2016, is not in compliance with the state law that requires it to have hospital and ambulance service agreements for patient emergencies. When Bevin moved to revoke the facility's license until compliance, EMW sued the state. A new Louisville-based Planned Parenthood denied abortion clinic licensing also joined in on the legal action. The safety regulations required for licensing are important safeguards for women's health in the event of complications, says state lawyers. The Bevin administration is working diligently to protect the health, welfare, and lives of women in Kentucky. Donald Cox, a lawyer representing EMW, has called Bevin a governor who is specifically anti-abortion and says he views himself as a mini-Trump, obviously talking about the president. We've been doing this for 30 years, so to all of a sudden say it's not safe to have abortions anymore is crazy, Cox added. The very right to access legal abortion in the state of Kentucky is on the line, argued another member and founder of the abortion clinic. And so a decision in the case could be made as early as this month, reports the Telegraph. So again, Kentucky is on the verge of seeing the last abortion clinic in the state close their doors. Now what Bevin wants to do, what the governor wants to do there is say, you're not in compliance. You're currently not in compliance with the law of the state. Now listen, let's just try our best to look at this in a logical and a rational way, okay? So the state of Kentucky says that abortion clinics, in order to have their license, in order to be compliant with the law, they must have ambulance agreements and hospital agreements in case of emergencies. That's the law, okay? So they were not in compliance with that in 2016. So what Governor Bevin is saying is you're not in compliance. You're going to have to stop operation until you can get into compliance, until you can receive a license, until you can get the proper documentation that shows that you have ambulance and hospital partnerships in the state of Kentucky. That, to me, that makes sense if it's the law of the land, if it's the law of the state. Now, of course, they're suing, and we'll wait and see what the lawsuit says. But just saying, well, we've done it this way for 30 years. Why now all of a sudden can we not continue to do it? Well, the law matters or it doesn't matter, right? So we've done it for 30 years this way, meaning we've done it but kind of have skirted the law a little bit. What's the big deal? But, you know, it's interesting. We don't say that in any other case. That may be a law you disagree with. It may be a law that makes you uncomfortable, but it is the law of the land. So the governor in Kentucky, yes, is certainly pro-life. Do you want to call him anti-abortion? Okay. I mean, sure, he's anti-abortion. I'm anti-abortion. I'm pro-life. But he's not doing any, he's not going out of his way. He himself is not breaking the law. He's not making up rules as he goes along. He's saying, you were not in compliance with the regulations put in place. These are the ramifications of that. I salute a governor that would say that. And so we'll see. We'll see if Kentucky becomes the first state. Will Kentucky become the first state that has zero abortion clinics in it? And what a day of rejoicing that will be. And so be praying for Kentucky, be praying for the officials there. I'm excited again to talk to Dan about the adoption process and adoption reform that's going on, the foster care reform that's going on in the state of Kentucky. It's going to be exciting. I think it's going to... I pray it's going to set a trend that other states are going to hire and put in place people like Dan that can come in and reform what's going on in the foster care system and in the and truly being the advocate for the child. And also what Dan has been doing, and again we'll talk next week, is going out and partnering with churches in the state of Kentucky and saying, we need your help. We need people to adopt. We need people to foster. And where better to get people than in your churches? And I'm hoping, again, that that's going to make other states look at Kentucky and say, look, we need to do this. We need to make these changes. We need to get people in place and build partnerships across our state to find forever homes for these children. We'll be back in a second. So we say, only your God. Cover up. So we quickly went over 2017. We looked at some numbers and the importance of pregnancy centers. And then I wanted us to look at what was going on in Kentucky and other states as we're seeing a decline in abortion clinics. Planned Parenthood closed a number of clinics down, double digits worth of clinics down in 2017. So we're seeing a trend. Unfortunately, in some of those places, even though they close clinics, they're still providing just as many, if not more, abortions, Planned Parenthood especially, than they did the year previous. But what we are seeing is buildings actually closing. So less places that are providing abortion, less abortion clinics, and that's a good thing. What I wanted to do now is Jay Hobbs, a friend of mine who works for Heartbeat International, also writes at Pregnancy Help News, wrote a great piece right before Christmas, and he titled it 10 Numbers You Should Know About Pregnancy Centers. And he did a great job of kind of walking us through the importance of pregnancy centers, some numbers that are important as a lot of your pro-choicers, a lot of your real hardcore advocates for abortion, they want to come at pregnancy centers in a number of ways, and by saying that we're fake clinics and we're just Bible thumpers and all of these things. The numbers that he provided allows us to kind of look at it again from a broader perspective at the impact that we're having. So the first number that he pointed out was 2,752 locations. That's how many pregnancy centers are in this country. While it's true that locally run pregnancy help centers, including medical clinics and mobile ultrasound units, significantly outnumber abortion businesses, it's an exaggeration to claim, as Slate.com and the Huffington Post most recently have, that the nonprofits outnumber abortion clinics at a 3-to-1 margin. According to Heartbeat's worldwide directory of pregnancy help, there are 2,752 pregnancy help locations throughout the U.S. Comparisons as to 3-to-1 and even 2-to-1, a claim debunked by PolitiFact in 2016, rely on a misleading comparison between pregnancy centers and standalone abortion businesses, which excludes hospitals and clinics that perform genuine medical services in addition to abortion. Out of the nation's nearly 1,800 abortion facilities, 704 are standalone abortion businesses, according to a recent report from Operation Rescue. That number includes 490 businesses that offer both surgical and chemical abortions, but no genuine medical services. And then here's another number that he points out. 6 in 10 centers offer free ultrasounds, offering each woman and her family the chance to meet their newest member in utero. 6 out of every 10 pregnancy centers in the U.S., that's 1,661 total, serve women with free, limited ultrasounds. While it's impossible to definitively pinpoint the effectiveness of an ultrasound, mothers like Kelsey, and then he links to her story, say they decided against abortion the moment they met their child through an ultrasound at a pregnancy center. A total of 248,000 free ultrasounds occur. Up to 10% from a 2011 study by the Family Research Council, pregnancy centers in the U.S. combined to deliver 248,000, a little over 248,000 ultrasounds in 2016, a number that is continuing to rise as more centers add ultrasound services. Performed to confirm a viable pregnancy, every ultrasound at a pregnancy help medical clinic is free to clients, with donors covering nearly all costs involved, as I mentioned earlier. Meanwhile, Planned Parenthood, which receives over $550 million per year in taxpayer funding, charges its clients $150 for an intake visit that comprises an ultrasound lab work and options counseling prior to an abortion. Additionally, abortion clinics and other state providers bill their states separately for an ultrasound, starting at $126 for the minimum. A particularly alarming reality given recent audits that show Planned Parenthood has overcharged Medicaid programs $132 million in recent years. 577 centers offer free STD testing, Hope Resource being one of those. Beyond interacting with women during an unexpected pregnancy, community-funded pregnancy centers serve on the front lines of a nationwide battle against a growing STD epidemic. At the latest count, 577 pregnancy centers are offering free to STD testing, including 400 of which offering on-site STD treatment. That's Hope Resource Center once again. We do that as well. Those numbers are rising every year. So out of 400 clinics in the country that provide testing and treatment, Hope is one of those. Pregnancy Help medical clinics offering STD testing and or treatment do so at either no cost, which is what we do at Hope, or in a select cases at a very small cost to clients. Again, abortion clinics like Planned Parenthood will charge anywhere between $130 to $180. 30,000 call option line per month. So on pace to answer 350,000 women facing unexpected pregnancies in 2017 alone, Heartbeat International, who they have a 24/7 hotline, option line, they had 30,000 calls in a single month, five times throughout the calendar year. Think about that. Think about the impact that that's having, that a young mom facing an unplanned pregnancy, scared, can call that number and seek counseling and assistance. This is where you come in. 81,630 pregnancy center volunteers. Think about the impact that you're having. A movement that relies primarily on the generosity and partnership of compassionate men and women dedicated to offering women an alternative to abortion. The Pregnancy Help community enlists 81,630 volunteers on an annual basis. That is insane. That's great. That means that real people are having an impact on their neighbors within their cities. 6.5 million volunteer hours. Again, real people having an impact on their neighbors in their cities and in their towns. When I get on here and I talk about the impact that you have and the partnerships and the importance of our partnerships with our churches and with people like you, this is what I'm talking about. Lives are being saved because people like you are standing up. Zero federal tax dollars are coming to us. Think about that. Zero federal tax dollars. Client satisfaction rate at 99%. So what you'll hear on, you know, in different places at Slate and Vox and Huffington Post and what you'll hear on some news outlets is, well, patients are being lied to at pregnancy centers. Patients are being manipulated at pregnancy centers. Patients are being mistreated at pregnancy centers. And patients are just really unhappy at the way they are being looked at a pregnancy center. But the fact is that when looking at 2 years between 2014 and 15 of exit interview satisfaction surveys from more than 200 pregnancy centers across the country, a very clear picture emerges. Nearly 91 of every 100 clients report the highest level of satisfaction with the services they received. In addition to those reporting the highest satisfaction, the group reporting very high for their level of satisfaction at a pregnancy center shows that nearly 99 out of every 100 client reports a positive experience at the Pregnancy Help Center or medical clinic. Now think about that. So we're having a great impact. And we see that at Hope as well. When we look at our surveys, our exit surveys with our patients, the vast majority of those are very positive. They're celebrating our medical staff. They're thanking our medical staff. They're grateful for the care that they receive. They're grateful for the pregnancy test. They're grateful for the ultrasound, for the well woman care, for the STD test and treatment. They're grateful for the parenting classes, the baby shower, for all of those things. There's no manipulation going on at Hope. Now, are there some clinics in those numbers that I just listed that could use some assistance, that could do better? Certainly. I'm not crazy. I mean, there's no way that everybody's doing the right thing. But the vast majority of them are doing the right thing. And think about the volunteer hours and the number of people that are standing up and saying, yes, I care about my vote. Yes, I care about the Supreme Court. Yes, I care about laws. But first and foremost, I care about my neighbor. And I'm going to help out at the pregnancy center. I'm going to help out. I'm going to love and I'm going to serve. And I'm going to be there for this young family as they bring life into the world. And that's the impact that we want to have and we'll continue to have. We'll be back. So as we finish up the show, what I want to do is give a quick rundown of what January and February looks like for me and some of our staff. So we're going to be, I and at least one other staff member will be at all of these churches I'm about to mention between January and February, and would love to see you there as well. As we talk about the Sanctity of Life Month in January, as we celebrate life, and not just from, again, not just from a secular standpoint, not just from a pro-baby standpoint. Are we pro-baby? Absolutely. No matter what. But not just from those standpoints, but also from a gospel standpoint. Why are we gospel people? Why are we pro-life? Why are Christians pro-life? And so that's what I want to do, and that's what I'm going to be talking about at each of these churches as we walk through that. And I think what I'm doing this year and kind of what I'm focusing on is a little bit different than most Sanctity of Life messages, where I'll mention Psalm 139 and how we were knitted into our mother's womb, and I'll mention Genesis 1, where we see that man and female, male and female were created in God's image. I'll mention those and get us all on the same page. But in reality, when I'm speaking at churches, I should be. Now, I say should be because I know that it's not always the case, but I should be preaching to the choir. I shouldn't have to go in and say, here's why we're pro-life, here's what that looks like. We all should start from the same foundation, that yes, God created man in his own image. That yes, we see in Scripture that he knitted us together in our mother's womb, that he had a plan for us, that he, before the first star was put in the sky, that he knew our name. He knows all the hairs on our head. All of those things are true. Life is valued in Scripture. God values life. But what I want to do is connect that to the sharing of the gospel. So we all been commissioned to go. The Great Commission is go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we are to do. So if we've been called to do that, then that must mean we must care for those in the womb and outside of the womb. Scripture also says, you know, if you could sum all of it to, you know, they asked Jesus, if you could break it all down into two commands, what would it be? And he says, love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor. Folks, that alone for a Christian should make you pro-life. Loving the neighbor that's inside the womb and outside the womb. So what I'm going to do is talk about, actually I'm going to be talking about some scripture in Matthew as we look at Peter walking on the water and the importance of what happened there, the importance of what Peter said as he was falling into the water when he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. What did he say? Did he say, save me, disciples, save me, boys, save me, my buddies, my friends? No, he looked up and he said, Jesus, save me. Pull me up out of this water. Why? Because he believed that the only person at that time, 3 miles off of shore, in a stormy body of water, the only one that could pull him out was Jesus. Jesus was enough for Peter then. He was enough for the 5,000 he fed the day before, and he's enough for you today. That's a quick summary of what I'm going to be talking about at each of these churches. So on January 14th, I will be at Black Oak Heights Baptist Church. They're great partners of Hope Resource Center and excited about joining them. And that'll be the morning of January 14th. January 21st, I'll be at Shoreline Church. January 28th, I'll be at Calvary Chapel, it'll be fun. They're, again, all of these are great partners of Hope Resource Center. February 4th, I'll be at Ignition Church, which is downtown. We've had Pastor Hunter on the show before, a great friend of Hope Resource Center. And so I'll be at Ignition on February 4th, that Sunday morning. February 10th, which is a Saturday, I'll be at Seventh-day Christian Assembly, which they've been partners with Hope Resource Center almost since the beginning and are just great friends of the center and of the work that we do. And so excited about joining them on Saturday, February 10th. And then February 11th, Calvary Baptist, right on Kingston Pike here in Knoxville. I'll be joining them that morning on February 11th. I've been talking with Pastor Chad Sparks at Providence Church and hope to be joining them on into the summer. just some schedule conflicts for January and February. It's not going to work out, but it looks like we'll have some kind of partnership there this summer, and hope to be speaking there and talking about the sanctity of life. And because, let's face it, folks, we don't have to do it just in the month of January and Sanctity of Life month. We need to be doing it year round. Now, I'm not saying that I want to be in a different church every single Sunday. That wouldn't be healthy for my family. It wouldn't be healthy for me to not be engaged in a part of a local church. But what it does mean is we do need to have these partnerships. If it's not me speaking at the church, that the pastor would speak on abortion, would speak on life. And the great thing about every church that I mention is every one of these pastors do that, even when I'm not there. And we have a great group of pastors here in Knoxville that care deeply about life. They care deeply about what we're doing at Hope Resource Center. And they long for the day, just like I do, that abortion would be a footnote in history, that abortion would be unthinkable in a civilized society. That's what we have to do. And folks, yeah, I'm going to the March for Life in D.C. I'm going to be speaking up there to a large group of people. I'm going to be very much engaged in that process. I will have conversations with politicians. I will sit down with whoever I can sit down with to see that abortion ends before I die. But hear me when I say this. My hope is not put in legislators in D.C., in judges in D.C., in laws of the land. That is not where my hope is put. My hope is put in the one that gave us breath. And what I know is if God's people would stand up and would truly love their neighbor, what we would have is we would have abortion go away without any law being changed. What we would have is we would have orphans finding forever homes. The foster care system would look nothing like it looks today. Adoptions would skyrocket. People would step up. And that's what we have to start at. We have to start in our cities, in our communities, and say, do we care enough about this issue to love our neighbor? Or are we just someone that I'll make a phone call, but I'm not going to really go and love on a neighbor? Because if we're passionately pro-life, then we're going to step up and we're going to be there for those that need us. And the best way, not the easiest way, the quickest way to do that is partnering with us at Hope Resource Center. You can learn more about us at investinghope.com. You can listen to this podcast at investinghope.com, find it on Podbeam, iTunes as well. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those things. We are so grateful for your partnership. Thank you for making 2017 one of the best years yet. And here's to 2018 following along in suit. And we are excited about what this year holds. Talk to you soon. Oh, I know I'm on the rise again. Some sights on where I'm going. And my goodbyes.